We haven't finished Luke yet. Luke 12. We've been studying blasphemy forever. We got one more blasphemy, the ultimate blasphemy. And so let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This covers all the other blasphemies. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. Chapter 2, verse 3. That day shall not come except there come a falling away or an apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So, really, the ultimate blasphemy is the human race. Because that's every man's mind. He set himself up in the temple of God, the man of sin, the son of perdition. He especially set himself up in Gary. What?
Quite how old he's got there. We'll be praying for you. You
know, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple, the naos of God, only the holy place and holy of holies, showing himself that he is God, because he judges for himself good and evil. That's God's fail-safe, that no flesh shall inherit the kingdom of God. Got it?
I'm saying that you preface that with the ultimate
blasphemy. Because it's the curse. And then the ultimate, if you will, is those who teach self-realization in the name of God. Because that's blasphemy upon blasphemy.
You made me think denying the foundation of God's
foundational truth.
Yeah, and that just keeps going deeper and deeper into the essence of what God did just in the first place.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, we hear, if we watch these guys, we watch it. They're always talking about the end time revival. Nowhere in the scriptures is there talked anywhere about an end time revival. There's only the end time apostasy. And in order for it to be apostasy, apostasy has to be a falling away from something that they, you know, something they believed. And the belief was believing in Christ, but now instead of living by the faith of Christ, they use the promises of God as an instrument of self-realization and prosperity. There's no greater apostasy. There's no greater blasphemy. Everybody understand that? And yet, how quickly that happens.
Self-realization that's pure, that's not prosperity related, financially or
no self or any kind of self-realization is the fruit of the curse.
Okay.
Yeah, death is death. We always want to modify that. Now, well, it's not quite dead-ish.
Well, we could. I've even got a whole page on blasphemy, but we're not going to go there. All right.
How do
back
we blaspheme?
Huh?
How do we blaspheme?
How do we?
Yeah.
We've That's what we talked about yesterday. You deny a foundational truth. The biggest blasphemy is to forget that Jesus Christ is in you. And so you're left to your own devices.
Turning away from Him.
Well, you don't even realize it. You don't even, it's subconscious. It's because that's what this thing is hardwired to do.
Yeah.
That's why this thing has to be totally and completely abandoned, ignored. And that's in this generation, that's the hardest thing in the universe to do. It gets worse. Chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Verse 11. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing you shall answer and what you shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in that same hour what you ought to say. I'm going to review synagogues one more time because it's so important. Fundamentally, there's no such thing as synagogue Judaism according to their own book. Because there's only temple Judaism. And even take any one of the issues, if the three pilgrimage feasts are not celebrated in the temple, then whoever doesn't celebrate it is cut off. The biggie is, if on the Day of Atonement, the priests going into the Holy of Holies sacrifice isn't accepted, then Israel is destroyed. This is why there's no more bond or free, Greek or Jew, male or female, young or old, no more America, no more Canada, no more Syria, no more Babylon, no, what's it called, Iraq. There's only the bride and the whore. And that's the simplicity of the gospel. There's no in between. There's no neutral ground. Now that's a declarative statement that upsets certain people.
Well, Judaism includes all the sacrifices.
Yeah, there can't be Judaism. But they've invented, and this was invented in Babylon. That's the first time there were synagogues.
Because they had no temple?
They had no temple.
So, what did they do in the synagogue, Judaism, just like we do, sit around and read the Bible? No ceremonies, no killings? No.
Yeah, there was nothing except the same thing we do. But they... Their hope for the salvation was that the diaspora would return and the temple would be rebuilt. They rebuilt the temple in Herod's temple. But the temple had no Ark of the Covenant, had no mercy seat. And that's why when the veil was rent, it became obvious to all that what they'd been doing those few years was a sham. Because there was no ark. There was no mercy seat. There was no cherubim.
Yeah. Jeremiah had buried all that.
We don't know what he did with it.
Set thing in history that he buried it.
That's one of the many legends.
That's pretty weird, isn't it? That the high priest would know that.
That's why the high priest became Sadducees.
Hmm.
because they knew. And then they became all about saving the nation.
They certainly had good motives in that.
All right. Yeah, everybody means well, but the meaning well is, all right. We've already looked a little bit at the word magistrates. They take you into the synagogues and the magistrates. And remember, synagogue is synagoge in Greek. And it's the same as, it's never a building. The synagogue was the name of the gathering, just as you might as well say they were. It's the same as a church. There was no building called a church, because the church is the people. The synagogue is the people. That's the meaning of it, the gathering. Magistrates is a strange word, archē. And it means the beginning or first ruler of any sort. But what I found interesting, that it's from the beginning. Let's look at a few of these and see what from the beginning means. We started to do this the other day. The arche is the word for magistrates, but it's also the beginning or the first. Now let's go to Luke 1, verse 70. We studied this before, but
in the synagogue,
no, remember in the first synagogue, they couldn't have a building. They had to be on top of a hill where the meeting took place, because it was a type, the threshing floor that they were so familiar with was the type of the gathering, when the chaff and the wheat and all that is there, they're brought in, and then the wind blows the chaff. So that's why the first synagogues had, the first gatherings were on top of a hill with no walls, no nothing to interfere with the blowing away of the chaff.
Great symbolism.
I'm going to quit going on side trips.
Don't make any vows.
Luke 1:70. Let's go back there. This is Zechariah's prophecy. This is Zechariah. Who's Zechariah? Everybody? All right. Zechariah was a priest. His function was, he was of the order that was responsible for the altar of incense. And that was the most, next to the high priest, that was the most important in ranking of the priests. So Zechariah's father, John the Baptist's father, was the one in charge of the altar of incense. And so John the Baptist is just born. Well, let's read it. Let's start. Go back to 57, verse 57 in Luke 1. Now Elizabeth, remember that was the relative of Mary, and Mary had just left for the hill country, where Elizabeth and Zechariah lived. And so she was there, Mary was there when John the Baptist was born. So anyway, well, I said, in 56 it says, and Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and her cousins heard how the Lord had showed great mercy upon her, and they rejoiced with her, because she was past age, and Zechariah was past age. And it came to pass on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they called him Zechariah after the name of his father. And his mother answered and said, not so, but he shall be called John. And they said unto her, there is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father how he would have called him, or had have him called. And he asked for a writing table. You remember, he was struck dumb. Because why?
Because he
doubted the angel. And so he was struck dumb until this instance right now. So anyway, and he asked for a writing table and wrote, saying, his name is John. And they all marveled. Again, because this wasn't done. There was no one in his line named John. I think the angel told her, but I can't remember for sure. And as soon as he said, as he wrote that, his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed, and he spake and praised God. And fear came on all that dwelt about them, and all these sayings were noised abroad throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all they that heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, what manner of child shall this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. And his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. The word there for world, I mean, since the world began, an equally valid translation would be before time began. That's probably the better translation. Before time began. We can't, as I've said before, we can't conceive. Our minds, that's the one, the mind cannot conceive of eternity. That's no time at all. We can't. And that's where we're going. We're going, that's where we dwell now. That's why it's so difficult to understand that we are dwelling in eternity. That's our home. That's why it's so critical that the only way that the mind can possibly understand this, or to have some arena, is to see that time is evil. Or the days, redeem the time, for the days are evil. And the only way you redeem the time is by bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. It's to reckon that by one offering you've already been perfected. It's to see that you are at the highest point that a human being can be. It's seeing you on all things, and seeing it's really finished. It's seeing that we are at the first source of all things, so you can't have a need, you can't have a want. This mind cannot conceive this. So mind makes up stuff. We're going to see in a minute, there's a word that says, take no thought. Yet in every translation, except King James, it's translated as be anxious for nothing, instead of take no thought. Because the mind can't conceive of a position in which there would be no thought given. And so this is why the only battle, because it's the greatest of the blasphemies of blasphemies, is to use your mind for anything. That's why you must use your mind for everything until you see there's no there there. But as long as you use your mind selectively, then you'll remain a child and spiritually. Anybody understand me? This is why repentance is so important, but it's repentance that means your death. Harry's giving no thought for anything. We're in the same boat. You say you want peace of mind, yet that's the only peace of mind. Jesus Christ is your only self. Anyway, before time began, Zechariah saw that. Anybody have any response to this?
Yeah, you can almost drop the word before and say, just like we talk about it, outside of time.
Well, it's...
Because before is just more time.
Yeah, but it's at the first of the first. The first of the first is before time began.
What was happening about that time?
Before time began? Yeah. Well, that's exactly what your mind can conceive it. You can only experience it. Once you experience it, nothing else matters.
I really don't see the comment of time as the greatest evil. Time could also be called the greatest good, because it's the medium by which the revelation...
Well, again, but Gary, redeem the time, for the days are evil. That's, you gotta address that somehow. Then you're out of time.
And then you move out of time. And you
so you, time that's how you redeem the time.
Right, so you move into seeing eternally.
Right. So you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ.
Right.
You're at the first source of all things.
But can that happen without the medium of time?
Time was the only... Well, again, this is endless, Gary.
No.
I'm just saying, redeem the time, for the days are evil. Redeeming the time means leaving it. All right. Let's go to John 9. Jesus healed this guy that was blind from birth. Let's start in verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, they meaning the Pharisees, and he said unto him, give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner. And he answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And they were calling Jesus the sinner. Then said they unto him again, what did he do? What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? And he answered them, I have told you already, and you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto him, why herein is a marvelous thing that you have not from whence he is, and yet he opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? And that's again, since the world began, since before time. We'll continue on that. This is enough for today. It's going to get more intense because the next is take no thought. How can we possibly take no thought? Anyhow, anybody else? This is why, again, as I said, look it up. The word for take note, so thought is meremno, and then there's an ah before it. So it's take no thought. Nowhere in the Bible, nowhere in Greek, is thought ever translated anxious or nervous. And yet every translation except the King James, even the commentators that I thought I mostly respected, changed that word to mean don't be anxious, don't be nervous about anything. Can you see why apostasy came on us? You have a weird smile, Gary. What do you think?
Well, I'm just trying to get a hold of that. Take no thought being changed to being...
Don't be nervous about anything.
Yeah, that's not a small difference.
Oh, it's huge. Or Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or hereby know you the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So what did they do? It's changed in every translation except the King James that I'm aware of, that Jesus has come and he will come, but it's only the Spirit of God that can confess he is come. Hallelujah. Everything to try to keep this thing alive. Everything is trying to make it understandable to the human mind.
Yeah, housed in the same form so that even the elect would be deceived.
I go nuts reading translations. I mean, a different one.
Yeah, me too. I've been looking for Spanish.
Oh yeah, he's going now, trying to find the Spanish.
I can't find a single. They mostly take it from the English. They've gone from the Greek to the English.
And they go from English to Spanish. So it's double.
Yeah, just the fact that they've all gone to such effort to switch a fundamental understandings. And it's kind of universal in all the new translations.
Well, it's, to me, it's just, it's sad beyond sad. Majesty of that we are the vessel of the of this incredible mystery, and that we can't become anything. We can't. It's just now that's subtly been changed, and not too subtly sometimes, into an instrument of self-realization.
Yeah.
This incredible book. It drives me nuts. All right, take it, big guy.